Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success.
Welcome to our episode today. I am grateful that you're here with me, and I'm grateful to have Alyssa Wolf. Her company is called Unbusy, which I love, and she is a productivity coach. So Alyssa, I look forward to picking your brains today. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jean. Happy to be here with you.
Fantastic. So talk to us a little bit about what was your journey to becoming a productivity coach? Was there some kind of aha moment, or did you just kind of fall into that, or did you start there?
Definitely did not start there because I knew, quote unquote, that I was never going to be an entrepreneur. I had always had this deep desire to do something impactful with my life. I thought, well, maybe it'll take the form of mentoring younger women, something like that. This was me as a teenager and a college student trying to forecast what would happen. So I was like, well, I will go to university. I will pick the exact right major for myself. You don't know, want to know how long I spent poring over college catalogs. And then life will be great. I'll graduate in it. I'll get that job. And I will be out there impacting the world. Only problem was, I was trying to go along that mentoring line, so I picked teaching. Seems logical, right? Except I did not like being in front of the classroom. I realized that at the end of 1 year, and it's like, shoot, I have to get out of my major. I'm not going to last through this practicum. Like, I am scared to death of having to do this. And nothing else I could find at that university was a clear, okay, get this degree and get this job. I didn't want to be an engineer. I didn't want to be a coder. I didn't want to learn how to fly airplanes and fix airplanes. So I ended up going for this interdisciplinary degree full of stuff that I loved studying, but was kind of the equivalent of an English major. You know, it wasn't something directly marketable. It just checked the I have a bachelor's degree box. It's like, all right, I'm going to have to go to my secondary life purpose, having kids, and hope that this purpose thing comes along for me at some point. So, all right, here's baby number one. Here's baby number two. Has the purpose shown up yet? No. Here's baby number three. Here's baby number four. Where is my purpose? All these other people have purposes. When is mine coming? Baby number five. 6 months after she was born, I was listening to someone's podcast and they mentioned online business. I was like, light bulb moment. I could stay home with these five kids and impact other people, mentor other women around the world virtually. Like, this is how to have the both and. So my only choice now is, do I want to wait till I'm an empty nester in my 50s for everyone to be out of the house, then go back to kind of that original plan? Or do I want to jump into online entrepreneurship and do it now? Stop waiting. Well, given that set of choices, I think I'm gonna go for the now. And that was 5 years ago.
Wow, five kids, and you look so calm. How do you do that?
Well, that's part of my whole Unbusy time wizard secret. I've just never been the person who wanted to live in the frazzle zone. So, like, even when the kids were young, I would say, all right, they're down for a nap. Then I get 2 hours to myself, because once you take time during the middle of the day to recharge, you can meet your second shift with a lot more grace, a lot more capacity. So that's kind of been my secret weapon all along in this motherhood journey.
I like that. And your second shift, I totally can relate to all of that. So that is amazing. Well, I am grateful that your purpose finally came. It took a little extra time. but it is hard sometimes when you go to college and you don't know what you want to do, but you know what you don't want to do. I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a lawyer. You know, they're obvious straight paths. And when you're not on that straight path, you're just not sure what's happening next. So, good for you for not giving it up and not delaying it, because I think it's something that you can do at home and, in your own time, especially as a coach. So let's talk a little bit about what do you do business-wise? I know you're a productivity coach. Who do you do it with? Who are your ideal clients? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. So as a productivity coach, I'm helping you do productivity, but the no pressure way. Because there's usually always something that work-at-home moms want to fix or change about their daily time management or their routines. Maybe they feel that tug of mom guilt versus pushing forward the business, feel like they're not being present enough with their kids, or just plain they would really like to have some self-care time, be able to work out in peace without the kids crawling all over them, and that being the only way it can fit in the day, living room Pilates. So it's anyone who still has kids at home, because that's what I can best speak to, of course, as the at-home mother. And if you need restructuring, or even if you're like, I feel like there's nothing I can cut in my day, but I can't live this way. Like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to sustain this current client load. How are my kids going to remember me? Will they have any memories of me at all attending their things? Or I'll always say mom was on her phone, or mom was stressed out, or mom never wanted to cook and we didn't know how to cook. And the result was we had takeout and, just cascade effects. Like, absolutely, you can use tricks like the delegating and the takeout and stuff, but it's when it's a choice, not a collapse and failure, I can't handle it all. So I want to return the power to every working mother, every business mompreneur.
I love that. I love that. I was sure around when mine were little. They're older now, but I could totally relate to the mom guilt, the business guilt, the living room Pilates, which could not happen in my house because I also had two dogs. And if I were down on the floor, they would be licking my face and, all over the place, stepping on me. So that didn't even work for me. So tell me a little bit about, like, where do you start? I'm assuming that the moms come to you and they're just overwhelmed. I don't know which way is up. I'm chasing my tail. I am giving no time to anything that feels like I'm giving time to. You know what I mean? Like I'm just running from one thing to another. Where do you start?
Yes, if you're super overwhelmed like that, then we're going to start with a lot of calendar decluttering. But some of my other clients come to me, they feel like their self-image is that they are pretty successful. It's just that this work from home life isn't really living up to the dream, right? Like, they understand how to make to-do lists. They mostly follow to-do lists. They can set up schedules for themselves, but somehow things always go a little bit off the rails. And it may not be a lot, but it's enough to take away their peace, to make them feel like they're always living under pressure and there's always something else they have to get done before they're allowed to sit down. So, whether you're in the overwhelmed boat or the kind of the high achieving but not quite there boat, I run everyone through three main principles: scheduling, which is, yes, obviously your calendar, also your to-do list, and I would even put self-care in here because you have to schedule it into your day to make sure it doesn't get pushed out. Number two, the mindset. Because if you have a mindset that I'm only allowed to take a break when my to-do list is finished, that's really going to bite you as a business owner. Heck, even as a mom, the work is never done. And then number three, the delegation. Because you're right, you can't do it all. You're finite, you don't have capacity. But you can make sure that it all gets done. It just doesn't have to be by you. So those three core pillars are what I'm going to run every client through. And at some point or another in the container, we are going to hit all three of those. But she might start off with a huge need for time blocking, fixing her schedule. Or maybe we can't even get there because we need to work on rewiring her mindset of, I'm worthy of taking breaks. I'm worthy of putting workout time in the middle of my workday. I'm worthy of hiring a housekeeper, whatever it is that she needs.
Yeah, I remember I heard, of course, after I had needed it, was that there were moms who would get together and say, I'll take the kids on Monday and you take them on Tuesday. There were like little tricks and things that you could do to help each other out, like as neighbors or friends. And it wasn't anything that even dawned on me that, oh yeah, that would make sense. It was like no, and there was, I guess, it part of the mom guilt and the mindset of I have to do it all. It has to be me, otherwise my kids, like you said, they'll never remember me. They'll never remember what I've done for them. And it's a really strange kind of place to be. And I don't know if that's a society thing or a female thing or just a personal thing, but it does seem to be a thing.
I would definitely agree.
Brilliant. So I love this scheduling. So do you probably start with them maybe tracking what they do for a week to get a better idea, better sense of what they do? Is that something you do?
Since everyone hates that exercise, I don't make them do that. I just make them write down a list of all the things that they do during the week and then hand that over.
That's so fair. Yeah, no, and it's always funny because I've tried to do that myself, and then, well, how much detail do you want? Yes, I wrote an email, but I wrote 15 emails. Do you want to know who I wrote them to? Were they clients? Were they, you know what I mean? Like, it is sometimes an overwhelming exercise. And then the mindset part, entrepreneurs especially suffer from this. Am I allowed to take a break? And it's so interesting because it's the reason you became an entrepreneur was because you wanted, typically, you wanted to have control over your time, but yet you're allowing the business to dictate your time. So you're losing that asset that you thought was there. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, it's so ironic, isn't it? That you leave your 9 to 5 because 40 or 45 hours a week is too much, and then you go into the unlimited number of hours. Plus, the boss isn't putting pressure on you to do it. You are putting pressure on you to do it because you're not hitting your own internal success metrics. And of course, we are our own worst taskmasters. Period. End of story. It just seems to come with the entrepreneurship bug.
Yeah, I see that too. It's funny actually too, though, if you can get to be productive in your work life, it can spill over to your personal life. And I'll give you an example. Like, we're traveling to Ireland next month, and I actually created a spreadsheet for all the places that we're staying because we're traveling around. And so sometimes we're only planning staying somewhere 1 or 2 nights. So I've got like the check-in time, the check-out time, a link to the website, a link to the registration or the confirmation number and stuff. And I never would have thought to do that before, I started working for myself. But, that makes me feel more organized, and it's just using a tool that I already knew.
Yes, and whatever you can do to make yourself feel more empowered and on top of it, like you do that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then outsourcing. Oh, big fan of outsourcing. And that's something that's actually easier now for parents because when my kids were little, they just started having at restaurants, they would bring the food out to your car. Just started that. But after COVID, everything was drive-through or pickup or DoorDash or, so there are a ton of ways to outsource different things. What do you recommend to a lot of your clients to outsource?
That they do stuff both on the business side and on the motherhood side. So, what I find is usually these women understand the principle of outsourcing, but it's like they're only in one ditch. Well, I can outsource in my home, I can get a housekeeper, but I need to do everything in my business. Or, no, I've got team, I've got VAs, I've got this, I've got that. But I need to be doing everything on the home front again because I want to make sure my kids know that I'm there for them, quote unquote. And so I'm coming along saying, no. As soon as your kids are old enough to be in school, they're old enough for you to hand off housekeeping, some of it, to them. And I mean, if you would rather pay the housekeeper, by all means, but your kids need life skills. How else are they going to learn? You do not want to wait till they're 16, stubborn and set in their ways, and then suddenly dump, hi, laundry, toilet scrubbing, food prep, you're responsible.
Yeah, it's funny too because my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and I think she felt her responsibility was to take care of us as kids. So I went off to college and never did a load of laundry in my life because she always did it. And I didn't know how to cook very much either, so my roommates thought I was very spoiled. So I'm grateful that actually my husband taught my kids how to do laundry. And so they're still doing laundry and they're off to college, so they have that life skill, and we've taught them how to cook. We've given them, they've got bank accounts that they have to keep track of their spending. And you're right, those are all life skills. And if somebody does them for you, you won't know how to do them. And you won't know how to make decisions on your own. Do you agree?
Agreed completely because you're still a parent on top of the business owner. Part of parenting is making sure they are trained up and ready for adulthood. And if that just happens to knock a few things off your plate, complete win-win scenario here.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about tell us a little bit about a client or two, maybe your favorite client, kind of a transformation, like where they were when they came to you, and then after working with you, where they are now.
Well, one of my favorite clients came to me, the high achieving, productive, already running an agency, like doing well in life, but feeling like she never had enough time for herself. Like she was so busy with all the things for her kids and appointments and this is and that's is that she didn't have the time to sit down, except maybe on the weekend, on Sundays. And she had health issues. Like she couldn't live at that pace. So when she came to me, I said, there are things in your schedule that we can cut because since your business is so successful, do you realize this opens up an opportunity? You can hire someone to take some of these things off your plate. It's like, oh, this would be great. I used to hire household help. I stopped. I don't know why. I mean, sometimes we just, get in budget mindset or something or think we can handle it. And she realized it would be great if I could offload even just 5 or 10 hours a week to this person. Suddenly, I get 1 to 2 hours a day back for myself, like without having to rearrange my entire schedule. So she sent me a list of things that she was doing, and I just went through them one by one. Who needs to do that? Does that actually have to be you? No, I can trust a paid person to do this. Oh, and that one too. And that one. Well, that one has to be me, but I don't even know if that's a priority right now. Like maybe next semester. I haven't fully decided if I want to take action on this, since part of being a high achiever is you follow through with what you commit to, which means sometimes you take a little extra time in the decision-making process, right? Especially if your plate is already full. So it was just having a separate spot for all those might be nice to get around to's and saying, those don't belong on your to-do list. You're still deciding about them. And if you don't feel like you have the mental margin to decide, well, they just stay there. They're not hurting anything. Now let's go back. Would you like someone to take care of the sheets for you? Would you like someone else to pick up your kids for you? Would you like someone to go buy this kind of birthday card for you? What can you get off your plate so that you do not have to be on your feet in the kitchen all day, so that you can have a break when driving your kids to appointments and handle all the business owner side of things, right? So the end result was she literally halved her work hours while keeping the same amount of revenue coming in because she got so much more efficient with her team and business stuff.
Ooh, I love that. Who doesn't want to get half their time back to do something fun or nice or just do nothing? So that's fantastic. So if somebody's saying yes, I can relate to all of the things you've talked about, all the negative parts of the things you talked about. What would you say could be their first step into leading a more productive life?
Go all 5 a.m. morning routine stuff on you. Instead, let's flip it to what is the thing that is bugging you most? Like you feel frustrated, resentful, angry that you have to put up with in your work from home day. That's the one I want you to brainstorm a different way around. How to offload it, how to stop doing it, how to, suddenly tell your family, by the way, I'm not prepping the veggies, cooking supper, cleaning up after supper, doing all the dishes and wiping down all the counters and making your lunches anymore. I'm doing three of those things and you all are on the hook for the rest, right? Like if that happens to be your frustration point. Maybe it's scrubbing showers. Maybe it's something with your team. Like they never understand this one SOP and you're sick and tired of having to go back in and pull it up for them. Whatever it is, start with that one first. Because if you can go through your day without that source of resentment, you're going to be so much happier as the work from home business woman.
And I would think that that starts the momentum as well. Once you
Exactly.
realize that you can outsource that and somebody can do that for you, then it's like, oh, well, what else could I offload that I don't want to do?
And all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, that was the topmost thing that bugged me. What about the second, third, fourth, and fifth? Especially if you had a hard time picking just one in the first place.
I love that. I love that. So obviously you work with mom, high achieving moms who do they typically work from home? Do they work out of the home? Does it matter? Are they a certain age range? Tell us a little bit more about your clients.
If you have kids at home and they're minors, so they're under 18, that can give you a bit of flex room for how old you are as a mom. And then typically you are working from home for yourself, or else you have a really flexible employer because you might be technically working from home, but if it's if from, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., you're in your office on calls and meetings, you don't really have the kind of flex room that I'm good at helping guide you into of balancing whatever you've got going on for the house and the kids and stuff. You just move your office to your house. So yes, it's typically entrepreneur women.
Excellent. So I have a sentence I want you to finish. My clients probably describe me as.
My clients probably describe me as gentle and a good listener. That's actual feedback I've gotten.
Oh, I love that. That's brilliant. All right. So if somebody needs a gentle, good listener to help them be more productive in their home life, their work life, and they work for themselves from home, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Well, number one, you can just search yourunbusylife.com. I'll pull up absolutely everything for you. Or number two, all things LinkedIn. So it's Alyssa-Wolf with two Fs dash unbusy. That will give you podcast episodes, daily work from home hacks, and free audit opportunities, all sorts of good things. If you would rather just plug in the earbuds and listen to a podcast, every Tuesday and Thursday, I'd put out like a 7-minute show. So just search the unbusy mom. Because I'm not going to waste any of your time. I'm going to get you in and out with that negative transformation.
I love that. We fellow podcasters, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And we'll put all those links in the show notes below. So, one last question for you. If you could go back and give your earlier coaching self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Get a personalized business coach sooner because you don't always know when you need to pivot versus when you need to just stick it out and keep pushing with more discipline.
Perfect. I love that. Well, Alyssa, this has been so incredibly informative and so much fun. So I wish you all the best, and I am grateful that you joined me here today.
Thank you so much, Jean. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.